I'd like to invite you over to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11. Judges, chapter 6, verse 11. Judges, chapter 6, verse 11 reads this way. It says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for this Lord's day and the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house. And then, Lord, again, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And then, Lord, we also ask that you would have your will and your way in our lives, that you might receive the honor and the glory, and that we might truly be vessels to your honor. Bless your people. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their understanding to see their need of you and to trust you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And that's important to consider because Gideon didn't really understand this. He was hiding from the enemy. But I want you to consider here this morning, what God is wanting us to see is really a lesson on how the Lord reveals his glory in the life of his children, because he was not expecting that, was he? He was really a nobody, the least in his family, and then all of a sudden God says, "I am choosing you to glorify myself." Well, that's a good place to be when we don't think much about ourselves, but when we do think everything about God, God can do great and mighty things in our lives. And so I want you to hold your place right here in the book of Judges. This is going to be our text, but I want you to see some New Testament truths in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. You can simply listen, or if you'd like to see it for yourself, it would be good to take a look at. But I want you to see what the Bible says here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do not some, but all to the glory of God." What does that mean? We're going to look at that here in just a moment. Do all to the glory of God. And it has to do with having reverence and respect for the authority of God. Knowing what that means. What does it mean to have respect for the authority of God? Well, that really has to do with the will of God and the way of God. In other words, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, I reverence that. I respect that, and that is the rule of my life." Listen, whether I understand it or not. Now, we can't take ourselves to that place. God must bring us into that place. We can stiff arm that. We can say, "Well, in my book, the things that God has said is up for debate. I mean, I don't know, listen, if I'm going to follow everything that God says." Well, that is an immediate revelation of having little to no experience with God. Listen, little to no experience with God, because God is getting ready to give Gideon an experience that is already going to revolutionize his life. He already has a heart for the things of God. You're going to see that here in just a moment. And so God wants us to have a heart for him, a faith or a trust in him, that we believe and love what he is saying to us, that we reverence him for who he is, because in our hearts and minds, he is God. Amen. And he has the supreme seat in our lives. Not everybody thinks that way. Not everybody believes that, because they have little to no revelation at all concerning who God is. You cannot come to Jesus Christ as your Savior unless God reveals his holiness to your heart and mind, and his righteousness. Listen, it takes God to reveal to us that our righteousness, what we think is so good,
is as filthy rags before the Lord. We cannot give him anything that would impress him. In fact, everything that we would even imagine to think that God would be impressed with, he says, you're trampling the blood of my son underneath your feet, and you're elevating whatever it might be to be greater or of significance that I would redeem you or accept you because of something you have done. It is simply the finished work of his son on the cross of Calvary that grants, doesn't give us the right, it grants us forgiveness and an entrance into his family. And you would be surprised how hard the heart of mankind is. How proud to think, well, I've done this and surely God has an excuse for me. No, there's no excuses. There's just forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ and that alone. So he says, I want you to know something. If you reverence me, then I want you to understand this. I didn't say this. Whether therefore ye eat, however you do it, and however you drink, or whatsoever you do, it has to be done to the glory of God. Now, that doesn't mean that, well, I guess everything I do, no matter what it is, glorifies the Lord. No, it does not, unless it's led by the Spirit of God, and unless God gives that confirmation, yes, this is pleasing, and that requires the indwelling Spirit in the life of the believer, and that is exactly why there is nothing that the lost person can do to glorify the Lord, because the righteousness of God, of the blood of his son, does not abide in that individual. Look with me, if you will, right here, book of 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians just for a moment. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, and look at verse 18. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, verse 18. Notice what it says here. But as God is true, is he true? Our word toward you was not yea and nay. Listen, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Listen to this. For all the promises, not some, for all the promises of God in him are what? Yea, they're yes, right? And in him, amen, unto the glory of God, by us, by the believer. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ, did you hear that? Now he, who's that? God, which establishes us, the believer, with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, the believer, and Paul, and the messengers of God, is who? Are you looking at that carefully? Look at verse 21. Now he which establishes us, with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is who?
God.
Amen? Who's doing the work? God. The Lord is doing the work. All we need to do is be a recipient of what God wants to do and desire that God fulfills his work in us. Notice this. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. That they were having problems there. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. By faith you stand, or by trusting in God, you're going to stand. You will never stand without faith or trust in the Lord. And I want you to know something. That's why I tell you, the privilege that God has given to me is by his grace and power. If you reject me, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the word of God. You're rejecting God. Listen, I am not here to debate with you. I'm here simply to proclaim the truth. The rest is on you.
Amen.
Amen? The rest is on us, whether we receive it or reject it. You will give an account for what you consider or how you look at the things of God. Do you think the world is happy with the Lord? Absolutely not. They don't care about God. Why? They've never received the revelation. The God of their mind is just simply that, something created in their mind. They've never seen the holiness of God. I had reverence for a God I did not know. And then God revealed himself to me through the conviction of my sin. And I didn't see it physically, but I saw his holiness and my unrighteousness. And I saw myself, by the light of God in my life, lost. Not partially, lost completely and undone completely and thoroughly. And I saw that there was nothing in me that would be pleasing in the sight of God. Some people say, well, if I do this and I do that, God will receive me. You'll never find that in the Bible. You'll never find that in the Word of God. The Spirit of God, why did Christ come? Why did Christ come if not to redeem us? Because we were already lost in our sins. Listen. There are good sinners that do good things, and there are bad sinners that do horrible things. But both are sinners. Both are in need of salvation. And so God wants us to understand that anything that we have must come from God, or it's no good at all. And if you're caught up with what you think, that's where you're going to stay. Unless you yield yourself and trust God and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but listen, I need you to open up my heart and mind to see things how you see them. Because the lost world's got an opinion, don't they? Well, their opinion is, oh, I'm not that bad of a person. Oh, they have not seen the holiness of God to see that they have no standing at all whatsoever with the Lord. And so they think, well, this is not a bad thing. I mean, the world is coddling this idea, these ideas, plural, that blaspheme the Word of God. So here's our position. Do we have respect for the authority of God, or do we have more respect for the thinking of man? You see? And that's where we're at in our society today. And so we need to come to this place that, Lord, I want to walk humbly before you. And I want to be filled by your Spirit. And by the way, I want you to understand this also. God is interested in their salvation. But if the believer has no inkling or knowledge or respect for the authority of God, they'll never enter into the blessings of God that will change the world by changing our lives first. We were talking about Jonathan and David, and what a wonderful relationship they had. And boy, did they. They did have a wonderful relationship. But you will narrow it down to this. The reason why they had such a great relationship with one another is because they had the highest regard for the authority of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit ought to confirm that in your heart. It's because they reverence God above everything else. And that's why Jonathan said, who, by the way, was probably the next to be the king, said, David, if God has called you to it, to God be the glory. Amen? That you'll be a great and mighty king. Just remember my house. May your house and my house always be joined together. Why? Because they had a heart for the things. They had a respect for the authority of God. You want to know why King Saul was falling away? Because he lost his respect for God's authority, and he thought he could enter into the priest's office and begin to offer up sacrifices, and he just thought he could do it his way. And you can't. You can't do it your way and be right in the sight of God. You might think you are, like Saul did. He would never get it right, never get it right. You know why? Because he was too full of himself, and he could not see the importance of honoring God before all things. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're right there in 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 4 and look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts as believers. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, or his authority, in the face of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? We are his representatives. Listen to this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our body. That the excellency of the power may be of who? And in case you wondered, and not of us. If we're not careful, as a saved child of God, man, look at me. Oh boy, I read this, I read my Bible, I prayed this long, I did this, I handed out this man. What about how you stand before God when nobody else is looking? Where's your heart? Is it full of yourself? Or is it to the honor and glory of God and everything, as the Word of God said? See, that's where our standing is. And unless we be self-deceived, we must be honest before the Lord and say, I've got a problem that only God can fix. Not that ought to be fixed by us, not that we ought to rededicate ourselves, but that we see that we need God to bring these changes in the life of a believer. Somebody said, and I agree with, and I'll tell you, I spent most of my saved life in my own strength. I was a saved child of God. Saved child of God. I knew I had eternal life, but I was floundering and I was rolling up my sleeves, bless God, and trying harder and trying harder. And God was just waiting for me to come to the end of myself. He had to bring me there. He has to bring all of us there. And so with that said, let me call you back over to the book of Judges chapter 6. And let me show you a couple of things that God has revealed to me to share with us. And that is three thoughts. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but here they are. Ready? The Lord's promise revealed. It all begins there. Judges chapter 6. And then secondly, we'll look at the Lord's grace revealed. It continues there. And the Lord's power revealed, and it's built upon the power of God. All right? You forget about trying to do anything yourself for God unless God is doing it. It's no good. All right? So let's back up here and let's look at this. Weakness is already revealed. He already knows. Gideon, not everybody knows this. Gideon certainly knew his weakness already. But you'll understand something here. Gideon, even though we're not told, you'll see it. He had a respect and a reverence for God's authority and God's way. He was just simply overwhelmed by the opposition of the enemy because the people of God had turned from their God to Baal and worship him, the devil, and that's why God was judging them to bring them back around to himself. So look at verse 11 here, and notice this weakness in Gideon was already revealed. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite. Who made the first move? Gideon towards God or the Lord? The Lord showed up, didn't he? Listen, unless the Lord shows up, you're on your own and you're not going to get very far concerning the things of God. You might have a religion, but you'll be lacking a relationship that Gideon had, that Paul had, that David had, that John, and none of them were perfect people. God will never say that. And that he's given to all of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody has the same grace. Didn't Paul say that? Well, I preached on that. You've been given the same grace that the Apostle Paul had. So listen, Paul would be the first one to tell you, it's not me. Didn't he say that? It's not me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Didn't he say that? Listen, please, no child of God would say to make that big of them. Oh, look at Abraham. Oh, look at Job. It was God in them that made the difference. They'd be the first to tell you that, because if we're not careful, we think it's up to us. It's not. It's up to the Lord in us to make the difference. So here is Joash. Here is Gideon, the son of Joash here. And notice this, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Why? To hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, this is really a little bit of a contradiction, because he's hiding. And I want you to know, Gideon doesn't think this is funny at all. We can look at this and we can say, yeah, it's kind of funny because he's hiding and God's calling him a mighty man of valor. But I promise you, Gideon is not laughing at this moment. He is fretting for his life to get food. That's what he's doing. And God is come. See, listen, we've got to come. Gideon was at the end of himself. And he did have a fear, a reverential fear and respect for his God. And I want you to see something here. By the way, sometimes it takes God some time to reveal, because we're in our strength, see? So you remember Moses, God was going to use Moses, was he not? But you remember when one of the Egyptians were beating up one of the Hebrews, what he did? He killed him. Is that God's way? Kill your enemy. Is that God's way? That's not the spirit of God, but he killed him. And then the next day, two Hebrews were arguing and fighting and bickering. And Moses comes out there, brethren, brethren, why are you guys fighting? Oh, and they said, are you going to kill us like he killed the Egyptian yesterday? He's too full of himself. So God had to take him for 40 years. On the backside of a desert. So you're in good company if you've served most of your days in the Lord in the flesh, because that's where Moses was, and God needed to bring him somewhere where he can prepare him, humble him. Because he was a big man. He was a big shot, probably next to be Pharaoh. Many wonderful things he did for Egypt. That all had to be, all the good that I've ever done, Paul said, he threw it in the dung heap. You know what Moses had to do with all the good that he did in Egypt? Had to throw it in the dung heap. Hey, you know what we have to do? All the good that we think we are, we need to humbly walk with the Lord and say, God, I don't know how to come in or go out. And if that's not in your heart, listen, there's not much that God's going to do. And I don't know what to tell you other than God really has to bring us to that place to where we say, yep, I can see it now. God brings us there. So, verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, he's not denying this. If the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? See, he's got questions. It's not wrong to have questions. So here's a good question. Lord, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and you've given me the power of God, why am I being defeated? That'd be a good question to ask. Why am I being defeated? And he'll tell you why. He'll reveal why in your personal life. I don't know exactly what it might be that would be withholding you. I will typically tell you we're too full of ourselves and not dependent upon the Lord enough to bring these things to pass. I'm not saying we don't love the Lord. Peter had in and out experiences, didn't he, with the Lord? The Lord said to Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, he chimed right up, didn't he? Thou art the Son of God. Well, what did Jesus say to him? Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you, right? And then in the next breath, Jesus is getting ready to tell him, I'm going to the cross to pay for sins. Oh, that shall never be. And then the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. You see, listen, one way in and out, and that's our life until we come to the place to where we're yielded, see? Was Peter saved? Absolutely. Did God have plans for his life? Absolutely, just as he has plans for ours, but Peter just had to be brought to the end of himself, just like we all do here, okay? All right, so here's where it's at. He says, hey, listen, Lord, if you're with us, then why has all this befallen us? Verse 13, and where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? This is why I'm telling you he had great reverence and respect that was on his mind. Hey, listen, I remember being told about how God delivered us out of Egypt. It was big in his mind. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midian. Listen. What is Gideon seeing? Listen. But now God has delivered us into the hands of the Midians. Who is doing this? In the mind of Gideon, who is in control? He sees God, doesn't he? You know what he sees? That he holds the heart of the kings in his hands and he turns them like he turns a river any way he wants it to go. Is that your God? That's God. And the Lord looked upon him and said, listen to this. Go in this thy might and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Did you get that? You know what the Lord said? You can see that you're helpless. And listen, the authority was, I have sent thee. But wait a minute, question, does Gideon need still some help? God has commissioned the people of God, listen, to be a royal, sanctified priesthood. Please, don't miss that. Because does God use dirty vessels? Well, we'll just live like we want and we'll witness to people and then wonder why they don't get saved. Why we'll just go ahead and do what we want and not allow the love of God and the kindness and the fruit of the Spirit. You read that in the book of Galatians. It's singular. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit. It is the same source that bears all those fruits, and that is Jesus Christ. You don't need more patience. You need Jesus Christ. You don't need more kindness. You need Jesus Christ. Why? Because you get everything in Christ. You get nothing in the fruit of itself. The fruit itself is a product of the Savior and His power and His grace in your life. And so, he says How come this is all happening? And again, the Lord says in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Question, did God know what he was talking about? Yeah, because this guy here was ready to be used. How much did Gideon think of himself? Not a lot. Not a lot. And God had to bring him to this place. I don't know what transpired before. We're just seeing the brink of God's great use in his life. We don't know what happened before. And by the way, he probably had a good farm. His father did, and probably had some money, and probably had to get knocked off his high horse a little bit before. They were thriving. God was blessing them, and they turned from God to Baal. So now they're being oppressed, and now they're brought down to their knees. And so as we consider this, we find that he already saw his weakness. You can see he has a reverence for God's authority. He understands that. And then the Lord tells him, hey, listen, I've sent thee. Have not I sent thee? Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Still questions, no problem. How's this going to happen, Lord? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Went down to the bottom rung. Sounds like David, doesn't it? Sounds like the way that the Lord works. Sounds like Joseph, least esteemed, doesn't it? Sounds like people that are set on the backside of a desert for a little while to come to the end of themselves. And the Lord said unto him, listen, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You're going to be unified. Now, I want you to keep this thought in mind. Who is the battle against? The Midianites. Remember that. This is one group of people. All right? The Lord knew what was going to take place, but it's the Midianites that are the enemies, particularly to the Israelites. And so he says, I want you to understand this. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to smite them. Now, he's believing this. He has a respect for the authority of God. He says, I know I can't do it. You said you're going to do it. I understand what you're saying. But I need you to make that real in my life, just like David did when he fought Goliath. He had a fighting of the lion and the bear. Remember, David did. He said, "Oh, listen, he's going to be just like them." And there was a confirmation that God brings. So he says, "Listen, I want you." Verse 17, and here's the Lord's grace revealed. And this is the Lord's blessing, and he desires to bring understanding about his grace and power in us. And that's what he's wanting to do here in the life of Gideon, as he wants to do it in our lives, because he's never changed. And he said unto him, verse 17, said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight. Listen, did you hear this? He is saying, I'm just questioning not you, not your authority, but if you've given this grace to me, I need some clarity on this. I need some understanding. I need you to bring me to the place to where I can experience your grace in my life. Isn't that what he's asking? He's saying right here, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Now listen, before you go off saying, give me this sign, give me that sign, you have to first have a respect for the authority of God, and that's really, technically, the will of God in our lives. So if you want to ask God to show you something, how that you're going to be long-suffering and patient and kind and gentle as Jesus was, then God's going to show you something. But if you just say, show me a sign, Lord, how I'm going to win the lottery, you shouldn't even be playing the lottery. You're on the wrong page already. And you're never going to get anything from God, because people that play the lottery, they're wanting to get something for nothing. I'm sorry. I got relatives that play the lottery. All right? I'm not mad at them. It's just quite telling. It really is. I love them, but that's not the way for the child of God. Verse 18, notice, he says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee. This is Gideon. And I bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. The Lord says, I'm going to wait for you. Take your time. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Okay? And so he says this, And Gideon went in and made, verse 19, made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour. And notice the flesh, he put in a basket and he put it in a broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. That's a good thing. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, right? And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh. Listen, did you see? God's taken. He didn't even ask Gideon anything. Gideon asked him, I need to know that your grace is blessing me. I need to know what you're getting ready to do, that you've blessed it. I need a personal confirmation. God's taken over. See, God knows what we need even before we ask him. He took the first step of faith. God's taking it over from here. That's how you know God's on the program. And so here it is. Verse 19, and Gideon went in and made a kid ready of unleavened cakes and ephah of flour flesh in the basket. And he put the broth in the pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. Again, verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff. He's watching this now. That was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. You know what the angel knew? That's all he needed. He gave him what he needed. Remember what Thomas said? Oh, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and the hole on his side. And when the Lord appeared unto Thomas, he said, here, Thomas, come over here. And he fell down and he said, my Lord and my God. Amen. Until that happens, we're not really experiencing God the way he wants us to experience him. See, God is not wanting us to give him, listen, what we think he should have. That's not respect for God's authority. Amen. God's already told us what he wants from us that he will produce. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. See, we get so preoccupied with everything else, we forget about who God is wanting to do business with. We start looking here and start looking there, and this ought to be done and that ought to be done. I promise you, the only thing that's going to matter in your life and in mine is how we stand before God and what he was doing in our lives. And he wants a sanctified people, does he not? He wants a holy people, does he not? He wants a royal priesthood that's filled with his power, and then everything else takes care of itself. We're too busy trying to figure out how to manufacture what God is asking us to do. Listen to me. I wonder if you think the first century church was busy about what we think ought to be done for God. Let's see, if we had this and if we had that, no, we've been given everything we need. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll flip the world upside down when the church is right in his sight. And again, the church that God is concerned with is that part of the church that you look at and I look at in the mirror every day. And so all of a sudden God takes care of business here and all of it is consumed, and then the angel of the Lord departs out of his sight. Now God's not finished with him. He's gone. But now he's giving Gideon some time to experience this revelation here. And what you find really is Gideon getting something from God that he needs before he goes out to this battle. So watch this here. So verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, listen to this, alas, what? O Lord God. For because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord disappeared, but is he still there? And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Did Gideon have respect for the authority of God? He thought he should die. He knew it. God said, I've brought you into a realm that you would never be able to bring yourself into. I have given you a revelation that you will never be able to come up with on yourself. I've given you something that you can't give yourself. God wants to give us something, his people, things that we cannot give ourselves. Then Gideon built an altar. Look what he did here. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah of the Ebenezerites. He built an altar unto the Lord and worshiped. And worshiped. Question, does he have a whole group of people there with him? Or is he by himself with the Lord? And he was worshiping. He wasn't in a big congregation, was he? And now we find, listen, the Lord's power revealed. Did he do something in the life of Gideon that Gideon needed before he was going to take on the Midianites? Remember, it's all about the Midianites, isn't it? But God gives him a lion and a bear before he goes after the Midianites. Look at the lion and the bear here in verse 25. And this is the Lord's power revealed for him. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock and even a second bullock of 7 years old and throw down the altar of who? Baal, not God. That thy father hath, his father, is worshiping Baal. See, but listen, when God is at work, other people are touched as well. He was a follower of Baal, the father was. That thy father hath there, in verse 25, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, God's authority, the way he said to do it, and take the second bullock. Is God giving him some specific directions? So God does, just wing it. Just wing it, Gideon. Just take, I don't, there's no order with me. Everything's just up in the air. However you want. No, that's not God. And offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood and of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. You'll find that's the biggest problem in the weakness of God's churches today. They're not listening to the Lord and following what we're excusing it. Then Gideon took 10 men. He cut it down. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants. That's the only reason why I say he probably was of some wealth at some time. They're down now, but he had servants. And did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. It's okay, right? God said, no problem, just do it. Just get it done. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, this is the lion and the bear. They just tore down the altar of Baal. Do you know what they were doing? Listen, you know what God said? Did God not tell them, I want you to go ahead and I'm going to deliver the Midianites and you're going to defeat them? Didn't he just tell them that? But see, there's sin in the camp. And God's got to deal with that first. See, we fool ourselves if we say, well, we'll just do this and we'll just do that. And wist not that the Spirit of God has departed. Where is the Spirit of the living God who saved our souls? Can he be seen not by what you do, but by his Spirit and his power in your life and mine? Is the life of Christ in us? What does that mean, the life of Christ? Well, they spit in his face, and they pulled out his beard, and they falsely accused him. And he said, Father, forgive them. And it wasn't manufactured. It was genuine. And so all these things denied himself. He was the King of Kings and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he humbled himself under the authority of his Father. Is the church doing that today? Well, I promise you, when we get upset, when we get mad, self is on the throne. That is quite evident. So, where's the Spirit of God? If it's not in us, it's not going to be seen by the world. And so God's people have to get business with God's work in their own lives so that we can be the part of the body that is healthy and thriving and empowered by the Lord to bless the church that God said would glorify him throughout all the ages. God's not concerned with just one part of the body. He's concerned with every part. And don't expect the blessing of God. Don't believe the lie of the devil that if one part is functioning okay, it'll be all right. Things are going to happen. See, we oh, that this would happen. Oh, that would happen. We better look in the mirror and see what God wants. If we respect the authority of God, what is God doing with us? And if there's something missing, may we call upon the Lord and stop playing these games. Because the return of the Lord is truly at hand, and this world is becoming more demonically possessed than spiritually influenced for the glory of God. So, he says, I want you to do this. He does this. Verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. He did what the Lord said, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, the people, the men of the city, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, who did it? They told him who did it. The other people, the other townspeople were glad to tell him who did it. They said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die. There was a problem. They were defending that which stood against God. The people of God were defending the things that dishonor the Lord. Are we excusing and defending the things that be of the flesh that God says, I'm going to root out of your life for my glory? Are we yielded servants? See, we ask, oh, fix this God, oh, fix that God. We're missing it.
Right. Amen.
If we're not looking in the mirror. We will never see what God could do and wants to do until we are yielded personally to the Lord. That He might have His will in your life and mine. We're playing games. Gideon said, you know what he said? I don't care what anybody else is doing. God has spoken to me. I'm following Him. As for me and my house. Not everybody in Israel was on board with that. So the son of Joash hath done this thing. Verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Did you see that there? There's no shame. He cut down our false idol. We were worshiping the devil. We were following him. We're put out with what he's putting a stop to that. You know what God wants to do today? In your life and mine, put a stop to the things of the world in our lives.
Amen.
So he says, I want you, we need to take care of your son. Look at the influence that Gideon had. I don't know if there was any conversation between Gideon and his father, but God did a work, was doing a work in his heart. And Joash said unto all that stood by against him, will ye plead for Baal? He's on Gideon's side. He's on the Lord's side. Now, wait a minute. He was just a worshiper of Baal. But you know what he saw? I'm undone. What I was doing was wrong. Will you plead for Baal, verse 31? Will you save him? That's pretty good. You got a God that you need that needs to be saved. He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. Wow. Did you see that? They were pleading for Baal. You know what he was saying? From having a grove and a place to worship Baal, you know what he was saying to all those people that he was in cahoots with? You all ought to die. What? Where was the change? God, what will bring the change in your life, in my life? Not ourselves, it has to be God. And so he says to him, listen, I want you to know something. You guys ought to be put to death. Let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. Right away. If he be God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Do you think that Joash knew it was his son Gideon? Oh, he did. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. Ready? Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal. You know what that means? Let Baal plead against himself, because he hath thrown down his altar. That's what it means. It's the rest of the verse. Because let Baal plead for himself. There is a special blessing to all those who diligently seek God. That's where Gideon was at. Listen, God wants to reveal himself to you personally in an awe worshiping, changing, life-changing way. He doesn't want you to manufacture it. He wants to do it for you like he did it for Gideon and everybody else. Listen, Hebrews 6:11, and we're done. But without faith, let's interchange that word with trust. But without faith or trust, it is trusting in God. It is impossible to please him. Him is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, listen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not half-heartedly, diligently seek him. In other words, you trust God enough that he's real, that you're not going to quit until you see his change in your life. Not yours, his. You know what he says to all of us as his children? The Lord is with thee. Is he not? And because of that, we are mighty priesthood for God's valor. Now, here's the message. If God is missing, if the power of God is missing in our lives, what will we do? If we don't call on him, can we expect change? If we're playing church, then we're going to miss God. But when we're ready to do business with God, he will reveal himself in a life-changing way. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love toward us. You're not finished with us. You want to work with us. I don't understand that. We are truly undeserving and so full of ourselves and misguided many times. And you're not done. And you are merciful. And you continue calling upon us to call on you and to trust you to fulfill your will and your work in our lives. May we respect who you are and your word, and may we not tailor it or alter it to our specifications, but that we will receive it as you have given it to us. Bless your word, bless your people, and bless those that might be here without Christ, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.